हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मविद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Page 42. In his purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 10.90.47, Srila Prabhupada reveals the reason why Lakshmi Devi was unable to enter the Rasa dance. Despite her eagerness to participate in the Rasa dance and other pastimes enacted by Sri Krishna, and despite the severe austerity she underwent to achieve that end, she could not transcend her natural mood of reverence. The sweetness and intimacy Lord Krishna manifested in Vrindavan constitute a unique kind of opulence found nowhere else, even in Vaikuntha. Right? So that answers the point. She is Lakshmi, so that what makes her Lakshmi is that mood of reverence. So therefore, it won't change. So she'll stay. She can appreciate, that's why she's doing austerities to get into those pastimes. Right? So that shows just the glory of Krishna and his pastime. But at the same time, because of the same people, therefore, it's not a problem. But that's the whole point, is the mood. That's what I said before, is that one's following the rules and regulations, but you have the right mood, then it works. This idea of that no rules, but no rules means you don't follow anything.
That's not going to happen.
No, that won't happen unless you're liberated. You can't do that. Like Rishabdev, he could follow no rules. Right? Like that. So, but that's on the liberated platform. When you work within the condition, you have to follow rules. Otherwise, you can't function. How do you have social interaction? How do you have economics? Right? How you have any kind of regularity that will train people? So we have to be careful between that. Following the rules doesn't mean smartas, and not following the rules doesn't mean, you know, sahajas. It means we're following the rules with the mood of, you know, trying to develop love for Krishna. So following in the footsteps of the Brajabasis, therefore we follow the rules. Because we don't know. Rules are so that you're doing the right thing. This idea, I won't follow the rules and everything will work out. That won't work. It doesn't work anywhere, so why would it work here? You know, I'm going on a diet, I'm following no rules. Is it going to work?
Depends what you're trying
for. For advertisement.
That'll definitely work. Yeah. In Braj, can you follow the rules and have no devotion? It means you could, but then you won't be one of the Lord's associates. Yeah. They're following the rules, but then they lack their devotion. So they're there, but they're not Krishna's associates. So you have to associate with those who are connected with Krishna's pastimes. Being a smarta means if you're a devotee. Smarta just means that they think that the rules themselves are the all in all. Like that. So they follow the rules very strictly. Like, let's say, generally we'll think of it, oh, smarta, it's a bad term. Why would they call it? But let's say the conservatives, do they call themselves conservative? Do the liberals call themselves liberal? Right? So smarta is just their name. It means one who follows nicely the rules. Smriti, yeah. One who follows Smriti is smart. Like that. Does that make sense? So they follow the rules, but they don't know the purpose of the rules. That's what the complaint will be. The complaint's not that they're following the rules. like that. When Krishna comes, he follows the rules. So if by that logic, Krishna would not be able to go back to Godhead. Right? Yeah, yeah. Once coming here, there's no return because he follows the rules. He can't get back. Oh no, he's stuck. Everyone went back to Godhead, but there's no God. He's here. He's stuck. Like that. Yeah, no, if we took some of the funny, you know, the amusing parts of our philosophy, I don't know if anybody would survive. You know, Narad Muni doesn't stay in one place. No one's going to take responsibility. What GBC man will want him, right? You know, Brahma, you know, forget him. You know, he's got problems. You know, so, you know, everybody's got some difficulties. You know, so. Indra, you know, like that, he's out, right? Yes. Which rules? Particular that means that's those are the ones that we don't use. That means Rukmini Dhyanam, you know, the Dwarka Dhyanam and Puja, then the rings, the goosegrass rings on the fingers. And then doing the Anganyas, Karanyas on ourselves. So we don't use those. Those are what's favorable for Vaikuntha. So in other words, the things that are favorable for Vaikuntha, the devotees don't even know they exist.
Yes.
And then they're saying, yeah, you know, all this Vaikuntha stuff. All it means is that they just got up in the morning whenever they wanted, and maybe they took a bath or not, maybe they brushed their teeth or not, and, you know, they came downstairs and they got breakfast. And so for them, they're on the spontaneous platform. What they forget is their mom got up in the morning, did cleaning, washed the clothes, prepared the breakfast, like that. So we're just talking about uncultured illusion here. Rules that are favorable for that, then? Oh, mudras during the puja. That's the fifth one. Mudras during the puja, not during the purvanga karma. The preliminary activities, you use mudras, but during the worship, you don't use the mudras. Does that make sense? They use? I can. Can, because he's a Vaikuntha deity, but you don't have to, because he's also a Braja deity. But they're the same person. No, you don't change it. You won't change. No. No, it won't change. See, from a culture that neither has spontaneity nor has regulation, we're not the ones to make the comments. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing. You know, maybe the Germans can make a little bit of comment on regulation, yeah, on rules, you know? Because they follow the rules. They're really into following the rules. You know? But the point is we don't have the qualifications to comment on these things. We just have to take what the acharyas give us. That's the important thing. You know what I'm saying? So the deity worship we've been given, then that's fine. You know, especially if you want to do simple, you just follow what Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives in that simple puja. It's all the 69. Main point is 16 items of worship are there. And there's preliminary items, there's closing items. That's all. Like anything. You set up the kitchen, you cook, you clean up the kitchen. Right? And then, you know, cleaning up, you know, now you've cooked, you get it out of the pans, get into the serving things, set up for dinner. You know, it's just all part of the thing. This is the way things work. So there's some preliminaries. Then there's the puja itself, and then there's the conclusion. Everything does that. So what he gives, that's the simplest. And what's there in the Archanpadati, then that's more elaborate. So these are your two ends. You don't have to do more than what's there, and you don't. And I wouldn't recommend doing less than what Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives. He specifically gave that for grihasthas. So a very simple, straightforward puja. It was in the printing of a back in the back of I think Bhajan Rahasya or something. Because that's what we teach the boys. We teach them those two pujas. Yeah, so then they know the full, and then they know the simplest. So then. Somebody there, or you know, generally most will establish the simple one. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's complete and everything. It's nice. It's sweet, but it doesn't have anything extra to it. And then, according to taste, if they want to add a few more things in, they can. Like that. That's the point with the Pancharatra, is that there's basically unlimited ways you can put it together, but it follows a very standard thing. You know what I'm saying? It means, like, let's say, we said, the raga, you have Bhairav. So it has a structure and a standard that makes it Bhairav, but there's unlimited ways you could, unlimited presentations. That's the thing about the Vedic. It can combine Vaidhi and Rag. The modern, where's the Vaidhi? Where's the Rag? Instead of Rag, they have whimsical. And the rules and regulations of who made them up, who established them, you know. So unless there's something that has proven itself over time, like let's say, you know, certain things in old school in business or in the military or, you know, in farming, then where do these rules come from? That came from just they work. But the modern idea where people sit in rooms and because they're smart, then they come up with all kinds of far out things, and that, when have they ever worked? Yeah, that's the whole difficulty. Purva Mimamsa, that would be probably, they would probably be the your greatest number of followers of it, I would think. Because they're following all the rules for, because the smart of the idea is you follow the rules to either go to the heavenly planets or merge in Brahman. Because you have to follow the rules, because you're dealing with mundane. Mundane means you have to follow the rules, because that's all you have. Spiritual is you follow the rules because it pleases Krishna. Yeah. Smarta means you follow the rules to please yourself. So that's the difference. Mm-hmm. We're not saying get rid of the rules, we're saying do it to please Krishna. Just like when we say, you know, boga is bogus, you know, we don't therefore throw out cooking and eating. We just connect it to Krishna. So in the same way, all the rules, we don't throw them out, we just connect them to Krishna. Right? But so when it comes to eating, we do that. But when it's not eating, then we tend to throw out the rules, because eating we can relate to. But even that, then when you get down to it, then what eating, when eating, how eating, why eating, then that, then we have, you know, that'll be from one member of the family to the next, it will be different. You know, it used to be from one community to another, it was different. Now it's every member of the family is different. Yes, yes. They take that to extreme.
So the rules,
I take it he has to follow. No, just he does it, you know, in his sleep, right? You know, that's. Yeah. Okay. Verses 24 to 28. Vaivasvata Manu leads prayers to Lord Matsyadeva in Ramika Varsha. So Ramika was, that's the first one on the north, no?
Yeah.
On the left. Because we came around, right? Ketumala was where she was so run. Because we did, Ilavrita we already heard, Lord Shiva gave the prayers. Yeah. Then Bhadrashva we heard the prayers, that was son of Manu, no? No, son of Yamaraj. And then Harivarsha, then who was there? Palad Maharaj. Then Lakshmi was in Ketumala, and now we have Vaivasvatamanu in Ramyaka.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I think we continue up. So Kim Purusha, I think, comes later. Okay, in Ramika Varsha, Vaivasvata Manu leads prayers to Lord Matsya, who rescued Manu and his praja from a devastating flood. Sugade Goswami continued. In Ramika Varsha, where Vaivasvata Manu rules, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as Lord Matsya at the end of the last era, the Chakshusha Manvantara. Vaivasvata Manu now worships Lord Matsya in pure devotional service and chants the following mantra. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is pure transcendence. He is the origin of all life, bodily strength, mental power, and sensory ability. Known as Matsyavatara, the gigantic fish incarnation, he appears first among all the incarnations. Again, I offer my obeisances unto him. 24 to 25. In his purport to verse 25, Srila Prabhupada comments. Manu addresses Lord Matsya as Mukhyatma, the first incarnation to appear. Fish are generally considered a mixture of the modes of ignorance and passion, but we must understand that every incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is completely transcendental. There is never any deterioration of the Supreme Lord's original transcendental quality. Therefore, the word Satvaya is used here, meaning pure goodness on the transcendental platform. There are many incarnations of the Supreme Lord, Varahamurti, the boar form, Kurmamurti, the tortoise form, Hayagrivamurti, the form of a horse, and so on. Yet we should never think of any of them materially. They are always situated on the platform of Shuddha Sattva, pure transcendence. So we see is that each of the personalities, according to what kind of service and that they render, then we see is their prayers are different than the others. The principle of the Lord being there is here. So now here he's talking about origin of life, bodily strength, mental power, sensory ability, right? Because that's all the area that Manu gives the rules on how to conduct and control all those properly. Right? Lakshmi is the controller of everything created, the creation. But it's all be done in devotion. So she's looking at that side. The other devotees are all getting blessed and she's being left out. Right? And then I think it was Manu, I know. Yamaraj's, then it was more about the Dharma and the rules, and you understand? So each one had their own unique flavor on how they're offering prayer. That's the beauty of devotional service. That's why we're giving all of their different moods. Because then we can see all the different aspects of how everything's connected to Krishna. Depending upon what your mood is, then it all matches. Vaivasvata Manu continued, my dear Lord, just as a puppeteer controls his dancing dolls and a husband controls his wife, your Lordship controls all the living entities in the universe, just such as the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. Although you are in everyone's heart as the supreme witness and commander and are outside everyone as well, the so-called leaders of societies, communities, and countries cannot realize you. Only those who hear the vibration of the Vedic mantras can appreciate you. Right, so here is also, you know, supreme witness, commander, leaders of society, communities, countries, right? So this is the field that he's working in, because that's what he deals with. Yes, all the varnas, yes, yes. So he's just showing how, in other words, from this we can understand how Manu Samhita connects to the Lord, right? How Lakshmi, devotional service, the association of devotees, the creation, all that's coming from her. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Being righteous, religious, how that, you know. So all these we can see. Srila Prabhupada comments, the living entity is never independent. Under all circumstances, he is dependent on the mercy of the Lord. The Lord creates the social division of human society, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, and ordains that they follow rules and regulations suited to their particular position. This Krishna has already ordained this. This is just what we do. Right? So that doesn't mean that because, you know, then we may say it's external, but that doesn't mean we don't do it. It means that's what we do externally. So in other words, Varnashram, like Lord Chaitanya says, external, that's what we do externally. internally, then it's about the devotion.
Yes.
That's the whole.
Yes.
Yeah. In this way, all members of society remain always under the Supreme Lord's control. Still, some people foolishly deny the existence of God. So either as a person himself, or as the controller of things, or as actually the laws of nature, when we say we don't need to follow these things, then unless we understand what it is we're doing, then we're also denying how he is Brahman, is pervading everything and has qualities. Right? Because we're influenced by Nirguna Brahman, that there are no qualities, therefore there's no rules. Right? So therefore we can see it's actually Buddhism. Right? It sounds like Mayavad that it's a Hindu thing, but actually it's Buddhism, because if there's no qualities, there's no rules. Yeah, the ultimately is nothing. So that means there's no rule, you can do whatever you like, because that would be our conclusion, not there's no rules, so there's nothing. There's no rules, we can do whatever we want. Right? Yes, so that's why it'll always end in sense gratification, because the living entities are look. Point is, if there's rules, I have to control the senses. If there's no rules, I don't have to control the senses. That's the weakness. That's the difficulty. That's why you see is that just on their own, even the Western society can pick up a few things from the Orient. But it means I don't have to follow any rules. It's just sense gratification. You know, yeah. Self-realization means to understand one's subordinate position in relation to the Lord. When one is thus enlightened, he surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is liberated from the clutches of the material energy. So it's not by performing varnashram that you're in the clutches of Maya. It's by not surrendering to Krishna. So if you surrender to Krishna, you'd naturally follow Krishna's system. Right? And then that's the perfection, not following his system and not surrendering to him, or surrendering to him and not following his system. Or not surrendering and not following, you know, that one, of course.
Yes.
So it's, we surrender and follow. That's the best. Right? Not surrendering, not following, that, well, of course, no, that these are the demons. Surrendering and following, then we see as, you know, we may like it or not, but basically everyone in the Bhagavatam except Rishabhdev followed. And Rishabhdev followed everything before he came to the Paramahamsa platform.
Yes.
Basically indicating before one comes to that platform, one follows.
Yes.
Yeah, even the demons fall, but they follow. They're like the smartest. They just follow for sense gratification. So, in other words, if you have an atheistic smarta, or a smarta who's not interested in God consciousness, they'll in their going to you know in elevation to the heavenly regions due to their pious activities of following all the smarta rules, they'll go to the lower heavenly plane. Because that's all about sense gratification without, being God conscious. Right? Yeah. It's not that they don't accept, God's position as supreme. It's just not important. Well, for the demigods, when you accept his position as supreme and that you're doing it on his order, that gets you to the higher heavenly planes. Right? Does that make sense? This is the difference.
So now you see the situation of Manu and all the inhabitants.
Yes, because you see they're all following in pure devotion.
Yes.
Right? That's why they'll mention pure transcendence and all these things. In pure devotional service. Vaibhasvata Manu now worships Lord Krishna Matsya in pure devotional service.
So it is heavenly planets mixed with bhakti.
Yes. It means you have devotional service with heavenly facilities.
Yes.
Kind of like what everybody's looking for.
Yeah.
but you get it by following the rules and devotional service. Right? The pure devotional service while following the rules, that gets you this. Because it mentions that this material facilities that don't go away, that's because Lakshmi gave them.
Yes.
That she only gives because of bhakti. Right? So that's the thing. It may be beyond, because she's unlimited, so giving a little bit of unlimited is not a problem. That it's a lot for us. But for those who are materialists, then they only get exactly how much they work. Right? They won't get less. But they'll get only exactly, they won't get more. That's why we see devotees may get beyond what would be their karma. That's why we say Krishna karma. We're worried about, you know, it means your karma when you get the bad stuff, but then why aren't we like, you know, what's going on? I'm getting more than I should. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's like, I should be in a little dinky, run-down, stinky, smelly bathroom with tiles in it, but I'm in one with, you know, more air and light and marble. You know, where did that come from?
Then something bad is about to happen.
Yeah. Oh, that's another thing. If you're following the I Ching, then yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But the point is because of devotional service.
Yes.
That's how we have
the higher principle.
Yes. When one is thus enlightened about his subordinate position, he surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is liberated from the clutches of the material energy. In other words, unless one surrenders to the lotus feet of the Lord, the material energy in its many varieties will continue to control him. Right? So we're controlled by that variety. Because we think we're the controller, so we're the Vishai, so we enjoy the ashra. So therefore, all the variety is for us to enjoy, so we're controlled by that. So like Krishna is controlled by the love of his devotees. The only difference is the devotees do love Krishna and the material energy does not love us. Slight miscalculation here. You know? Your sofa does not love you. Vaivasvatamana. Could you imagine? So we're thinking about how it's so far out that, you know, in the spiritual world and everything there is alive and conscious and all that. But if it was here, how much harassment we would get? You know, we actually take solace in dead matter. You know, that you can go out, sit there, and it doesn't talk back. Right? Sit on the couch, you know, like that. How come you always sit in the same place? You're going to get it done if you always sit in the same place like that. You call that posture? So sit up. You know, what do you think this is? You know, it says beds. Beds in the other room, that's where you lay down. This is the salt. You sit. Yeah. You know. Yeah. It's just...
I didn't ask.
Yes. So, like that. Okay, so the variety is for Krishna's pleasure. When we try to be Krishna, then since it's the opposite, you know, then it's for our so-called pleasure, but it also gives us trouble. Vaivasvatamana continued, "My Lord, from the great leaders of the universe, such as Lord Brahma and other demigods, down to the political leaders of this world, all are envious of your authority." Right? Nobody else mentions really the political leaders of this world. Prabhupada does in the purports, but generally you don't see it in the verses. Right?
Yes.
Because Manu, that's his business.
Yes.
Is training the political leaders of this world, right?
Authority.
Yeah, authority. Yeah, so the authority. So, in other words, you can't be Manu if you have authority issues. one specific, you know. Yeah. So all are envious of your authority. Without your help, however, they could neither separate nor concertedly maintain the innumerable living entities within the universe. You are actually the only maintainer of all living beings, of animals like cows and asses, and of plants, reptiles, birds, mountains, and whatever else is visible within this world. Right? Because the opening of Manu shows how everything's connected to the world, because all these different animal situation plants, one, these are births one will take if you don't follow, but two, they're the situations in which you perform your duties. Right? So in other words, one living entity, they create the situation for another. Like that. 27. In his purport, Srila Prabhupada reveals the motives of two kinds of people who attempt to sidestep the controlling authority of the Supreme Lord. It is fashionable for materialistic persons to compete with the power of God. When so-called scientists try to manufacture living entities in their laboratories, their only purpose is to defy the talent and ability of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he's already doing it. Why do you need to, you know, like that? You know, I mean, they talk about they're going to, you know, clone armies and stuff like this, but so far they've ended up with a sheep.
They destroyed quite a few sheep in the process.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, so only one made it.
Yeah. It didn't work out every time. It's not a stable process.
By now, that sheep's probably dead, no?
Yeah. Old. Yeah,
they're pretty old. Yeah. Whatever. You know, so, okay. You know, it's like, what was it? You know, the big... Baba tells that story of the Himalayas were going to give birth, and so everybody came to see, and then, you know, then rats came out. You know, so, what? Big Himalayas, you got rats? So here it is, big scientists, they all get together, and then they get a sheep. Not only that, it's an old sheep. It's not even a young sheep. Right? Because the genes are already old, so then it's already, you know. And it's not like bison, you know, what is it? You know, what is that? Benjamin Button, where it's going backwards. No, they just start old and get older. Yeah, so it's not going to make a movie. No, it's not going to work.
They don't
know the mantra. No. Yes, that's the problem. Okay. Their only purpose is to divide the talent and ability of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called illusion. It exists even in the higher planetary systems, where great demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and others reside. In this world, everyone is puffed up with false prestige despite the failure of all his endeavors. When so-called philanthropists, who supposedly want to help the poor, are approached by members of the Krishna consciousness movement, they say, "You are simply wasting your time, while I am feeding vast masses of starving people." Unfortunately, their meager efforts, either singly or together, do not solve anyone's problems, right? There's still, it means all these people working for so long, you'd think they would have solved the problem of hunger.
Yes.
But they haven't. Like that. Because only God consciousness can do. One is you solve that, that's the real poverty. And then the other is people who are God conscious, why would there be poverty? Right? There won't be all these problems if God, people are God conscious, because then they follow the laws, then everything works. Vaivasvata Manu continued, "O Almighty Lord, at the end of the millennium, this planet Earth, which is the source of all kinds of herbs, drugs, and trees, was inundated by water and drowned beneath the devastating waters. At that time, you protected me along with the Earth and roamed the seas with great speed. O unborn one, you are the actual maintainer of the entire universal creation, and therefore you are the cause of all living entities. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you." So now here's the cause, is who is the maintainer. Who can maintain, that's the actual cause. Otherwise something comes up and then disappears, then we won't, it's the one who can maintain. Does that make sense? That's why you see is that Shastro mentioned the biological father is counted as a father, but the father, one who protects you or feeds you, that's the that they're also counted as father. Because what? Okay, given birth, but then what about maintenance? It's don't maintenance, you die. So what's the whole point of being the creation? Right. So maintenance is actually the main symptom here. Because he can do. That's why he's the creator, not Brahma and Shiva.
Yes.
Right? Because Brahma can create, but he can't maintain it. Right? Shiva can kind of annihilate it, so that basically, definitely, there's no maintenance there. Yes? Sattva. Okay. Oh, yes, yeah, sattva. Satness. So, cause. Cause meaning maintenance. Okay. Yes, sat is also the eternity, existence. Yeah, okay, nice. Very good. Verses 29 to 33. Aryama leads prayers to Lord Kurma in Hiranyamayavarsha. In Hiranyamayavarsha, Aryama chants mantras glorifying Lord Kurma, who assumed the form of a turtle to bewilder the non-devotees. Sukadeva Goswami continued, In Hiranyamayavarsha, the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, lives in the form of a tortoise, Kurma Sharira. This most dear and beautiful form is always worshipped there in devotional service by Aryama, the chief resident of Hiranyamayavarsha, along with the other inhabitants of that land. They chant the following hymns, Srila Prabhupada comments. The word Priyatma, dear most, is very significant in this verse. Each devotee regards a particular form of the Lord as most dear. Because of an atheistic mentality, some people think that the tortoise, boar, and fish incarnations of the Lord are not very beautiful. They do not know that any form of the Lord is always the fully opulent personality of Godhead. Since one of his opulences is infinite beauty, all the Lord's incarnations are very beautiful and are appreciated as such by devotees. Non-devotees, however, think that Lord Krishna's incarnations are ordinary material creatures, and therefore they distinguish between the beautiful and the not beautiful. A certain form of the Lord is worshipped by a particular devotee because he loves to see that form of the Lord. So it's a beauty because it's about the Lord. But they're taking it as mundane. He incarnated in a mundane form. Right? Because otherwise he has no form. Otherwise how would you see him? That's the idea. But no, he has the transcendental form, so it's always beautiful. No matter what form he takes, it's always beautiful. So then it's about the taste of the particular devotee who he finds beautiful. Yes. Yeah, that's so you always under remember that it's Vishnu. Yeah, but the point is it doesn't really matter. The point is he's Vishnu. So whatever makes you remember Vishnu, then that's what works. No, the point is remembering Krishna is what's right. Forgetting Krishna is what's wrong. So we're arguing over what's the shape. Are we remembering Krishna? Right? So if God can take the form of a tortoise, why can't he be half tortoise, half human? Yes. He can do half lion, half human. Why can't he do half tortoise, half human? Hayagriva is, you know, human with a horse head. The rest of his body's human. You know, so, I mean, he can do whatever he wants. So the point is to remember Krishna. That's the point. Does that make sense? Aryama prayed, O my Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who have assumed the form of a tortoise. You are the reservoir of all transcendental qualities, and being entirely untinged by matter, you are perfectly situated in pure goodness. You move here and there in the water, but no one can discern your position. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Because of your transcendental position, you are not limited by past, present, and future. You are present everywhere as the shelter of all things. And therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. My dear Lord, this visible cosmic manifestation is a demonstration of your own creative energy. Since the countless varieties of forms within the cosmic manifestation are simply a display of your external energy, this Virat Rup, universal form, is not your real form. Except for a devotee in transcendental consciousness, no one can perceive your actual form. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Right? So the devotees can see the actual form, and they can see the universal form, because they can see the actual form. Mm-hmm. So they see that. But the materialists, they can't see the transcendental form. So at best, they can see the universal form, but they don't attribute it to Krishna in his transcendental position. So it'll just be material. Right, so that's just the form of the Lord and the mode of goodness. That's all. Right. So here, he's also dealing with all these things, the Virat Rup, all the unlimited faces and all this and that, because what does Aryamada do? Right, he's with Yamaraj. So they have to give the next bodies and all these different things like that. What will it be based on? You know, it depends on their consciousness. So you're going to take an ear from here, an eye from there, a nose from there, and put it all together. Right? In a sense, so he's going to think on this platform.
Yeah.
Right? Like that. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, the universe, Etat, is your form alone, but arises by Maya Shakti, not by your Swarup Shakti. It is a real form, Artha Swarupa, not something unreal. So, it is his form, it's real, it's made of the external energy, but it's real. So it's non-different from him because his energy is non-different from him, but he, as the person, Bhagavan, who's transcendental, sporting with his internal potency, there's a difference. Srila Prabhupada adds, a fire consists of three elements, heat and light, which are the energy of the fire, and the fire itself. So heat, light, and the fire. Mm-hmm. Anyone can understand that the original fire is the reality and that the heat and light are simply the fire's energy. Heat and light are the formless energies of fire, and in that sense they are unreal. Only the fire has form, and therefore it is the real form of the heat and light. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord also says, Matstani sarva bhutani na chaham teshva vastita. The entire material creation is resting on Krishna's energy, either material or spiritual or marginal. But because his form is absent from the expansion of his energy, he is not personally pleasant. This inconceivable expansion of the Supreme Lord's energy is called Achintya Shakti. Therefore, no one can understand the real form of the Lord without becoming his devotee. So that's the thing. He is the reality. Then based on that is energy. So the energy is, he's the reality, then the universe is manifest through his external potency, or the spiritual world through his internal potency. But he's beyond that, because his form is not manifest in that. Right? Means, in other words, Krishna's form is not in the external or in the internal energy. But he manifests through the energy, because he's beyond. That's the point, is he's beyond his energy. But he manifests form through the energy. So therefore, in the spiritual world, he has his transcendental form through the internal potency. In the material world, he has his external form through the external energy. So the universal form. Right? But when he comes as his avatar, as mentioned before, that's internal potency. They're not material. Aryama continued, my dear Lord, you manifest your different energies in countless forms, as living entities born from wombs, from eggs, and from perspiration, as plants and trees that grow out of the earth, as all living entities, both moving and standing, including the demigods, learned sages, and the pitas, but as outer space. So he's going through all these things again, same areas as Manu, but now it's not about rules, because these are the situations one's in, these are the things that you're put into, or these are where you get yourself into trouble. Right? You don't follow the rules, that's Manus. And when you don't follow the rule, then Aryama, then he deals with you.
Yes, yes.
Yeah?
So now I see, this is a good order.
Yes.
In the prayers and so.
Yes, and yes, you could say it's nice, yes, nice order. Because then you start to see things in that. Because the basis is that devotion is the most important.
Yes.
Right? So then, you know, Prahlad, the devotee, Lakshmi.
So,
no, but everybody's a devotee, so that's the point. Everybody was a devotee who's been praying now.
Aryama is like an assistant of Yamaha.
Yes, I know of the name. We can see when he comes back and he knows it. Aryama, I think he means it means something like the other Yama.
Ah, yes.
Like that.
Yes.
So they're always together, connected.
Yes.
Like that. You know, he's a different personality. But there's some connection between Aryama and Yamaraj.
Yes.
Okay, then as outer space, okay, forms of living entities, as a higher planetary system containing the heavenly planets, and as the planet Earth, with its hills, rivers, seas, oceans, and islands. Indeed, all the stars and planets are simply manifestations of your different energies. But originally, you are one without a second. Therefore, there is nothing beyond you. This entire cosmic manifestation is therefore not false, but is simply a temporary manifestation of your inconceivable energy. So again, they're making the point it's real, because it's connected to Krishna. But Krishna is everything. That means there is nothing that you can separate. So this idea, oh, we have the Vedic and then we have the modern. Then that means that there's something separate from Krishna. So this is not our philosophy. You know, it's just like you have God and his control, and then you have an angel that gets out of hand and creates his own empire, and then there's a whole war. No. That's the thing, is that independent atheistic nature, then we come up with this.
Yes.
That's the point we're saying about that underlying atheistic, because we're not accepting Krishna's authority. When we accept Krishna's authority, that's devotional.
Yes.
Like that. Do you have a thing for Aryama? He's with the Petris. Oh, which are connected with Yamaraj. Because you always hear of him with Yamaraj.
And then Yamaraj is here.
There, yeah. I know they're involved together.
But the, I believe he's the
leader of the Petris. Oh, okay. Okay. That makes sense. Okay, so therefore there's nothing beyond you. We have to see everything connected to Krishna. But the idea is, because we're into the personal form, wherever we start, we see the personal form and the connection to Krishna.
Yes.
So therefore, even though we can see Krishna in everything and how it functions, and we can see the laws governing everything, and we can see our duties connected with everything, we only perform those things that are pleasing to Krishna as a person.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
In other words, you could do something with something, but will it be pleasing to Krishna? That's the part that when one comes to the Bhagavan understanding. That's why you follow the rules, because it pleases Krishna. We're saying, oh, we're devotees, we don't have to follow the rules, but then what about Krishna?
Yes.
Right? You know, it's just like you have a bunch of actors, okay? And then you have someone who's not an actor, but they come and they take part in the drama. And then everybody else in the drama says, oh, we don't have to follow the rules of the drama. How are you going to interact with that person? You know, unless you follow your part in the drama. So Krishna comes as a Kshatriya, he performs those duties. When he comes as a Brahman, he performs those duties. Right? When he's a Kshatriya, he respects the Brahmins. When he comes as a Brahman, he's very careful about the Kshatriyas.
Yes.
So actually, it's about, you know, you don't have to, but why wouldn't you? Isn't that actually, I mean...
It means you don't have to. The point is you have to also define how you don't have to. How is it we don't have to? Do we have to breathe?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the point is the modes of nature are controlling us. In other words, we're controlled by the variety. That's the whole thing. We're controlled by the variety. Now the question comes is that, what are you going to do in that controlled situation? What are you going to do with the variety?
Yeah.
Right? So if that variety is then is seen connected to Krishna for his pleasure, that's devotional service, pure devotional service. If it's connected to Krishna for our pleasure, that's mixed devotional service.
Yes.
Not connected to Krishna, not for Krishna's pleasure, that's
bliss.
Yeah, that's just mundane. Is that? Aryama concluded, O my Lord, your name, form, and bodily features are expanded in countless forms. No one can determine exactly how many forms exist. Yet you yourself, in your incarnation as the learned scholar Kapiladeva, have analyzed the cosmic manifestation as containing 24 elements. Therefore, if one is interested in Shankya philosophy, by which one can enumerate the different truths, he must hear it from you. Because otherwise, the quantumists, they're also into analyzing, but they can't actually define things, and there's unlimited forms that they can't define how that works. You know, it's by perception, but then the point is they don't accept perception, technically, because that's dependent upon the mind. You know, so it's so, because the other thing is, it's like this. Why means you have a scientific experiment. Right? And let's say they perform that experiment out somewhere in Colorado. Right? Looking at the stars, right? Because you actually can see stars out there. Then some other scientists, that they appreciated the work that was done, they look at the same thing and look at the same thing from over in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So how do we call it scientific? What's the science aspect of it according to their definition? Right?
That they agree.
that they agree, but what is the things? Because there's similar methods of doing everything. Exact. So that means there's only one perception. But the same people will say, how many pots are here? There's unlimited pots. What have we added to this to make unlimited pots? The mind. And these are the very guys that don't accept the mind. They've got problems. Really fundamental problems. Right? You know, that's the difficulty, is that they don't understand the unlimited variety is there because that's the universal form. Like that. So it's Krishna and his potencies. And then depending upon us, it's not us that creates the forms. The forms are already there. Yeah. What we see, what was manifest, is according to our particular taste.
See, when the quantum start getting the consciousness, it becomes very my
eye. Yes.
My seeing makes it.
Yes, yes. You know, it's like that. Or it's even Buddhism. That's, you know, the tree in the forest. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a Buddhistic.
One thing is true, that
the truth is
not there,
it
doesn't happen.
Yeah, no, but the point is, who's the no one that's there? What do they mean by no one? You know, the bugs don't notice it, the birds don't notice it. You know, so if no one's there, there's no living entities, would there actually be a tree there?
The tree is a living entity.
Yeah, so that's just, you know, it's good because it engages the mind. That's the whole point of the Mayavad and the Buddhistic philosophy. It just engages the mind, keeps them off the streets. Because where are the Mayavadis and the Buddhists? They're in their way, studying way from the world. The only time they go on the street, technically, is to beg. Yeah. You know, so you're over there in the corner, yeah. You know.
Think about things.
You know, and they just have their interesting hats on. Therefore, if one is interested in Shankya philosophy, by which one can enumerate the different truths, he must hear it from you, right? From the Lord, right? Otherwise, you can't understand it. Unfortunately, non-devotees simply count the different elements and remain ignorant of your actual form. So they count and they don't know what to put together, what not to put together, what's put together now, and then they have difficulties with it, right? Because of their own method to break down whatever they do, because they're anti-authority. So therefore, even their own authority, they have to break down. You know, and then they then so they recategorize it. You know, and what was, you know, we have basic things, and then they'll have extra stuff, and then they'll disappear, and this will go off there, and you know, it just they move it around. So they remain ignorant of your actual form. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Verse 33, Srila Prabhupada comments. For billions of years, changes take place in the material creation, until at last the whole universe is dissolved and remains in an unmanifested state. Constant change and destruction, bhutva bhutva praliyate, Bhagavad Gita 8:19, is perpetually going on. How can you have 8:19? There is no 19th chapter. Sorry. I first started off with 9. I was going to go 9:18. No, it's actually 8:19. Then I'm thinking, no, there's only 18 chapters. Okay. Constant change and destruction is perpetually going on in nature. Yet the material scientists want to study natural laws without knowing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the background of nature. So the only common thread that actually makes it scientific is the Lord. Otherwise, it's working on the laws, but then they can only observe. They know the Lord, then they know the whole thing. Then how much you... In other words... You can be a Vedic scientist, even though you only know a little bit, if you know the Lord.
Yes.
So it's according to your capacity. Well, in the modern, it's all about the capacity. If you have a certain capacity, only then you can be a scientist.
Yes.
But the Vedic is, no, everyone can be a scientist if they know the Lord and apply that law, that principle of the Lord and how everything is within Him. So the area of interest, you see the Lord there, you see His laws there, then you're a scientist.
That's why the Vedantists can discuss with anybody.
Yes.
On their field.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's the point. That's the glory of it. So when devotees are, oh no, but we need some universe. This is it's the only universal.
Yeah.
The other ones have limitations, but Vedanta doesn't. That's why you can talk to anyone. Oh no, but we have to talk there. No, you have to talk to Vedanta.
Yeah.
You may use words that they're comfortable with, situations, examples, tones, all this kind of thing. That's another thing. But you can't speak anything other than Vedanta. Otherwise, what's the point? Then we're just like the philanthropists. Giving something nice, but no substance. Yes. Yes, that's a so-called scientist.
Yeah.
But someone like Sariputta, that's a real scientist, because he knows the Lord, and he's then seeing the Lord in the creation. Yes, that's the whole point. Is if they accept the supremacy of the Lord and that's His creation. In other words, if they look at science of just studying, they're a jigyasu. They have an interest in God's creation and how it functions, that it impresses them. That then you can say is a scientist. Right? It's not your highest scientist, but it's an actual scientist. But if they don't accept the Supreme Lord, then they're just a so-called scientist. Because how can you accept the laws and not... Let's say... I'm going to study what was happening in the way of food and clothing and, other, what I can see with my senses of Italy 2,000 years ago. But I'm not going to acknowledge or accept that the Romans and their culture... It's just, this is a scientific approach, none of this sentimental nonsense. I'm just going to, what is there? I'm going to study that. The Romans, their culture, that they had, that Caesar was there, none of this stuff. That's all just sentiment.
Sounds like Kalindology works.
Yes. Like that. And we want to be leaders in that? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? If one can get in there, do something, then that's great. But like what's his name? Sariputta, Druta Karma, they did something in their field. Wasn't it appreciated Krishna Shakya's doing something? Then that's good. You know, what's his name? Achyuta, not Achyuta. Achyuta, no. Can't remember, but his thing is the
Huh?
No. It's the Aryan invasion theory. He's worked for the last 30 years to get rid of it. No. He's a devotee. Like that. 30 years, and now he's starting to get some effect. Well, then if you can do something, then great. But the authority is Krishna, not these other things. Right? So then when you do that, that makes you a real academic, a real scientist. You know? Like what Subdhamana Maharaj, he had effect. He'd go out there and influence. You know, like that. So that's a real scientist. So that's what we're trying to get. If you accept Krishna and then you analyze, fine. But if you don't accept Krishna and you analyze, then that's a waste of time. This is the whole point. So that's the point. Connecting to Krishna, that's what makes it perfect. Srila Prabhupada comments. Okay, we know we already did that. Verses 34 to 39. Bhumi Devi leads prayers to Lord Varaha at Uttarakuru Varsha. The inhabitants of Uttarakuru Varsha are led in prayer by Bhumi Devi, glorifying Lord Varaha, who retrieved her from the Garbhodak ocean when she was forcibly placed there by the demon Hiranyaksha. Sukadeva Goswami said, "Dear King, The Supreme Lord in this Bodhi incarnation, who accepts all sacrificial offerings, lives in the northern part of Jambudvipa. There, in the tract of land known as Uttarakuru Varsha, Mother Earth and all the other inhabitants worship him with unfailing devotional service by repeatedly chanting the following Upanishad mantra. O Lord, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you as the gigantic person. Simply by chanting mantras, we shall be able to understand you fully. Yeah, so it's not just that they're chanting, it's that chanting the mantras, so they're thinking of the Lord in connection with this and glorifying the Lord with this. So that's the point. You are yajna, sacrifice, and you are kratu, ritual. Therefore, all the ritualistic ceremonies of sacrifice are part of your transcendental body, and you are the only enjoyer of all sacrifices. So Varaha is known as the Lord of yajna and ritual. Your form is composed of transcendental goodness. You are known as Triguna, Triyuga, because in Kali Yuga you appeared as a concealed incarnation, because you always fully possess the three pairs of opulences. Yes?
This Bhumi Devi, it is like Mother Earth, but it is not the same as this Earth.
Yeah,
that's it. It is the same one. But it means you are not in Uttarakuru Varsha.
Ah, that's where she stays.
Ah, yes.
And in her form as Sarabi, she lives there. You know, in other words, as in her, you know, that form, she lives there. Or, you know, just in her personal form, she lives there. She's the Earth,
yes.
But she's also a person.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the same. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so they're all Earth.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the fun part. So we get a glimpse of it, but the point we see the important element here that's being brought out by all of these devotees is the connection with Krishna.
Yes.
Whatever you're doing, you're following the rituals, you're following all the different understandings, the Shankhya, the universal form, the devotion, it's about Krishna.
Yes.
That's the main thing.
Yes.
That's what they're all bringing up. So if we catch that, then we've actually understood Fifth Canto. Right? And so just so we have maps, and it helps us kind of organize who's where and everything, and you know, so we can remember who's where.
Yes.
Because that's more important than knowing exactly what, you know, Uttarakuru Varsha is.
Yes.
No, that's where Bhumi Devi worships Varaha Devi. Mm-hmm. That's where he's the deity there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, the process is you are Jagya and you are the Kratu ritual. Jagya being sacrificed, Kratu ritual. Can you say something about the distinction of this?
The sacrifice is that you're performing it. That's the mood of the sacrifice. The ritual is the like that. The yes, that's sacrifice. Now, then you do sacrifice through something. There's a ritual. How do I know it's a sacrifice? I'm going to take this great sacrifice and sit down here and, you know, just, you know, how you say, do the right thing and eat this whole cake. So now, is this like real sacrifice, real austere, real?
Feeding the Brahmanas.
Yeah, feeding the Brahmanas, okay. We'll perform the sacrifice of feeding the Brahmana. Yeah, so the point is therefore there's kratu, there's rules. The ritual is there, and you perform those rituals for pleasing the Lord, that's sacrifice. Yes. Yes. And then even there's the sacrifice. Why is the sacrifice? Because devotion. Right? So that's why then you have all these different aspects, each one more subtle than the other. So it ultimately comes back to love for Krishna. That's the subtlest form of the whole thing. At least as long as we're conscious and evolve. You know, then there's Krishna's Atmarama, and that's a whole other story. Okay. In his commentary to verse 35, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, Yajna refers to sacrifices without animal killing. Kratave refers to sacrifices with animal killing. So now here he's giving a different one. Mm-hmm. A different aspect of it. Right? You know, because the other one who applied, we're working on that, but then here's the set. I offer respects to the Lord. So, in other words, he is all ritual, whatever it is. I offer respects to the Lord who is the form of these two sacrifices, Yajna Kratave, who is the limbs of great sacrifices, Maha Advara Av Avayavaya. Avayavaya. It's so much easier in Sanskrit because you just have consonants. Because the A is already there. That's such a superior language. I offer respects to the form who is Shuddha Sattva, Shuklaya, in his behavior, karma, and is the form who appears in the first three yugas visibly, Triyugaya, and in Kali Yuga in the colored form. Or Triyugaya can mean to the form which has three pairs of qualities or six opulences. Right? That's another way of looking at Triyugaya. Like that. Because they all go, because we'll think of knowledge and renunciation, right? As a pair. Right? But then you also have, what is it? You have beauty and fame. Then you have, what's the other? Power and opulence and wealth, unless it's beauty and wealth. Okay. But whatever, those four, two of those go together. If you have one, you have the other. Generally, it means if you have wealth, you have power. If you have beauty, you have fame. Now, if you're beautiful, you're automatically famous. Like that. And if you have wealth, you're automatically powerful. So these are the pairs of opulence. I would think one would be masculine, one would be feminine, like that.
One follows the other.
Yeah, one follows the other. Yeah, like that. You know, unless you're famous as the most ugly guy. You know, but whatever. Bhumidevi continued, by manipulating a fire-generating stick, great saints and sages can bring forth the fire lying dormant within the wood. In the same way, O Lord, those expert in understanding the absolute truth try to see you in everything, even in their own bodies. Yet you remain concealed. You are not to be understood by indirect processes involving mental or physical activities. So it's only the devotional aspect then you can see. Just because you can analyze the Lord's presence doesn't mean you'll understand it. That's the thing he has to reveal, because he's beyond, because he's transcendental. Right? You can understand, okay, there's universal form and how the thousands of heads and legs and all that make everything work. But to actually understand that's Krishna, then that's by his revelation. Because the whole Veda is based on the Purusha Shukta, which is based on this point. He is everything. Because you are self-manifested, only when you see that a person is wholeheartedly engaged in searching for you, do you reveal yourself. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Right? So that means that manipulating, you bring forth. So what's the expert manipulation? Right? That is through devotion. Mm-hmm. Then you can bring forth that knowledge. Just using the intelligence and mind won't be enough. You can't. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Throw in the senses also for good measure, yes. Huh? Mm. Yes, no, that's why they use these. They're just so perfect. Therefore, because what are we saying is how Krishna is. But Krishna is the principle that you can make fire from the wood. So, because it is him. If it's not different from him, that means everything functions on his. And the same nature that is him. So all we're doing is saying the laws are how Krishna works. And then to say, oh, we don't have to follow these, we're just worshipping Krishna, how does that make any sense? You know, they don't say, oh, why do we have to go out and pick all kinds of nice flowers and everything like that to set up the kunja, because he's the Supreme Lord, he is everything. So, you know, so the real thing is just him, so therefore we don't need all these rules, so we'll just sit around and smile at him. Right? So that's the whole thing, is that, no, this is the way he likes it. Okay. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, right? Who reveals himself to those who wholeheartedly engage in searching. There, okay. The objects of material enjoyment, sound, form, taste, touch, and smell, the activities of the senses, the controllers of sensory activities, the demigods, the body, eternal time, and egotism, are all creations of your material energy. Those whose intelligence has become fixed by perfect execution of mystic yoga can see that all these elements result from actions of your external energy. Right? So how do we see, it's eternal time, then we'll say it's from material energy. Right? So what are we talking about here? How do you see time? Movement, transformation in the external energy. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore we see sound, form, take, when energy transforms, right? The activities of the senses, that's transformation. The controllers, the demigods, they're transforming and doing something. It's also material energy. The body, eternal time, egotism. These are all creations. So material energy creates all these. But what is it based on? Krishna's potency.
So if you see beyond the forms themselves.
And so the thing is, the form is simply a medium or a container for that particular potency to manifest. Does that make sense? Like, let's say you want to eat breakfast. So breakfast is something, you know, of a certain, food group that is available in the morning that you can actually get your hands on and stick in your mouth, chew up and swallow. Okay? And so, therefore, we call it breakfast. Yes. You know, breaking the long fast since the night, right? You know.
You can have a few snacks by the way.
You know, it'd be like, let's say you, because you've been asleep, so, you know, what's the big deal? Let's say you had a huge lunch. Yes. Then you take a 20-minute nap. Yes. Then you wake up and then there's breakfast. You know. Hobbits would like this. You know? Yeah. Okay. Hobbits would actually make quite good brahmacharis, wouldn't they? Okay, so now... Yeah, all the other guys get involved with the ladies during the whole story. The hobbits never do.
Hobbits?
Yeah, they never get involved with the ladies when they're out on their tour, right?
Not on the tour.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They don't get involved. But everybody else, the dwarves and the elves, and they're all having a whole scene going on. But the... they're pretty good. Mm-hmm. Like that. But at the same time, as in the downside, the orcs also. So, and they throw our theory out a bit there. But, okay. So the manifestation, you have a pot, and it carries something. How do you know there's a liter of water?
By the size of the pot.
By the pot. So therefore, the liter of water is manifest through that pot. So just like Krishna's energies and all that, even though they're original and eternal, they're manifest through the external energy. That's how you can see them. Right? In the spiritual world, they're manifest through the internal potency.
Same principle.
Same principle. You understand? So that's why we can say it's all coming from the material energy. Because that's how you see it. All the forms. That's why the universal form is a material form.
All the manifestations are feminine.
Yes. The manifestation, the forms and the action, that's the feminine. And the principle that that's based on, Krishna, that's the masculine. In this context. You know? Does that make sense? So we take the form and the action, then we would take the action as the masculine, mm-hmm. and the form as the feminine. Because the real point of the form is the action it does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? You know, you have that chair there. It holds you off the floor. That's what makes it a chair. If you go and sit on it and you end up on the floor, we won't really call it a chair. You know? So, like that. Okay. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. It is possible to make you appear even though a person has the gross and subtle material bodies. If one churns, practices, one can see the Lord's form. I offer respects to you, whose form is seen in truth, vastu, by intelligence and great effort, atma, in the angas of bhakti, such as hearing and chanting, and by repeated contemplation, anvikshaya, of the mind on practices of hearing, chanting, and serving, along with the effects of maya, the sense objects, dravya, the senses, kriya, the sense devatas, hetu, the body, ayana, time, isha, and ahankara, kartribihi. Your form is spiritual. Yeah, that's the fun part in Sanskrit. Then all these have nice meanings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like that. Right, because the dravya, sense objects are the dravya, yeah. or the ingredients,
yeah.
but the senses themselves are the kriya, yeah. that's what actually does it.
Yeah.
The sense devatas, the hetu, because they'll be the reason. Right, because they do it, therefore, they move, therefore you can move.
Yeah.
Right? The body, ayana, that's interesting because you have the uttarayana and dakshinayana, the forms, the form of south, the form of north.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the form that it takes. Time, isha, which is the controller, right? And ahankara, kartribihi, we know, which is the doer.
Mm-hmm.
So if the false ego is the doer.
Yeah.
You give up the false ego, that's why you're no longer the doer.
Yeah.
Like that. So, your form is spiritual, so that's how Krishna is everything. That when we mean everything, we mean this kind of everything. Not, you know, he's this specific brick. He is that specific brick also, but that's not the significance. The significance is what makes the brick a brick.
The primary
yes.
quality.
Yeah, yeah. But this is all, so we can see how fine is the Vedic philosophy and how nicely interconnected everything is. Your form is spiritual. I offer respects to you whose form is devoid of maya. Or I offer respects to you who make the devotee's form free of maya. Either way, so the same word then gives the both these meanings. He who is free of maya or he who makes the devotees free of maya. So nice. So there's always that relationship. Bhumi Devi continued. O Lord, you do not desire the creation, maintenance, or annihilation of this world, but you perform these activities for the conditioned souls by your creative energy. Exactly as a piece of iron moves under the influence of a lodestone, inert matter moves when you glance over the total material energy. You know what a lodestone is? Okay. Natural magnet. Okay, that makes sense. I was thinking, what is this lodestone? Naturally magnetic. Okay. And so the iron moves, though it's not actually connected with it. Its influence makes it move. So in the same way the Lord then moves the material energy, though he doesn't move it. This guy's still there. That is so far. Where is he hiding?
It's
Okay, seriously, we don't know.
Sometimes I think there's something on there, but it's the reflection of light coming off my eyeball.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hours and hours.
Yeah. That's after you find them. Right? Looking around for hours and they were on the top of your head. Then when you do put them down, then you spend hours trying to. Then it's time to go to bed. Why? Because we don't need the glasses anymore. It's dark, so that's not a
problem solved.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Inert matter moves when you glance over the total material energy. 38, Srila Prabhupada comments. Sometimes the question arises why the Supreme Lord has created this material world, which is so full of suffering for the living entities entrapped in it. The answer given herein is that the Supreme Lord of God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, does not wish to create this material world just to inflict suffering on the living entities. The Supreme Lord creates this world only because the conditioned souls want to enjoy it.
That's the tongue line for acknowledge.
Yeah. Yeah. The workings of nature are not going on automatically. It is only because the Lord glances over the material energy that it acts on wonderful ways. So, another pradhan doesn't act on its own. It's inert. So it's only when Krishna then glances, then there's that control. You know, and then in the same way, then Maya controls us through the modes of nature. So he controls her through his glance, she controls us through the modes.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same principle.
Same reaction.
Yeah. And then we, you know, come home and yell at the wife, she yells at the kids, they go and kick the dog. Right?
And everybody suffers.
Yes. Don't kick the cat. Dogs you can kick. Cats do not kick.
No.
They don't respond well.
Scratch your eyes out.
Yes. Okay. It is only because the Lord glances over the material energy that it acts in wonderful ways, just as a lodestone causes a piece of iron to move here and there. Because materialistic scientists and so-called Shankya philosophers do not believe in God, they think that material nature is working without supervision, but that is not the fact.
How can it? Energy can't work without supervision. It's so-called
right?
Shankyas, atheistic Shankyas.
Yes, but I mean, just saying, even just we take, again, science. We're saying it's scientific because you can transform the energy in a particular way that someone else can replicate.
Mm-hmm.
So that means there's a controller and then there's the energy.
Yes.
And so they're just working with material energy. So if they're doing it on a small scale, why wouldn't it be happening on a big scale? Because they can say, oh, I'm doing this, but you're not doing the whole thing.
It's interesting, yeah, because they use that argument for the Darwinian evolution. You can see small changes, so on the big scale it must be the same. But then when it comes to this...
Yeah, therefore God is changing from a fish to a tortoise to a like that.
So
on the bigger.
So, yeah. So then when it goes the other way, and you actually prove God's existence by that method, then suddenly...
Yeah.
No.
They're not actually. It's just their religion. They're you know, anamoyists.
Yeah.
Like
anamoyism.
That. Anamoyism. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Certain dress.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Cathedrals.
Yeah, there's yes, the cathedral. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Fixed, yeah. Holy places of pilgrimage, like what is it?
Yeah.
Is that CERN or something?
Oh yes.
One of the main places of pilgrimage.
Large apron for Lightroom. Large apron for Lightroom.
Yes. Okay. Okay, Bhumi Devi concluded, my dear Lord, or my Lord, as the original boar within this universe, you fought and killed a great demon Hiranyaksha. Then you lifted me, the earth, from the Garbhodak ocean on the end of your tusk, exactly as a sporting elephant plucks a lotus flower from the water. I bow before you. So you know, he does all that, and it's not a big... How difficult it is to pick a lotus for an elephant is how difficult it is for the Lord to pick up the earth on his tusks, right? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Narrating the pastime of the boar, the earth shows the Lord's great mercy to her. Prativaranam means a worthy opponent, like an elephant. The Lord was also like an elephant. Ibha, playing. So she points this out, then it has the relationship, the niceness there, the sweetness, the kindness, the compassion. So it points out his position. Like that. Yes. No, but as we discussed this morning, earth is what you can perceive. So even if more of it's there, we can't perceive it anyway, so what does it matter to us? So if it's just this part that we can see in Bharatvarsha, right? Does that make sense? Because Bharatvarsha is actually bigger than what we perceive. We only understand a small part of it. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty. We're seeing part of it. Then there's the rest of it. So even whether it's just this much or it's the whole thing, what does it matter? We can't tell anyway. Yeah. And then you also see some that have both. They have her because he the arm and then on the tusk is here. Mm-hmm. Like that. Yes. Yes. But there's, you know, there may be some other aspects, but the point is that she is her. For, otherwise, how do you have earth? Because you need Sri, Bhu, and Nila. So she's Bhu. So Sri spoke, Bhu spoke. Like that. Nila, that you have to see. I think maybe Shiva spoke on her behalf. Yeah. Is that us? Yogamaya Durga. Is that okay? You understand? What does it matter? It can be just this much, it can be all that, it can be the whole. But point is we can only perceive this much anyway, so that's what's important for us. You know, it's just like, let us say, okay, duties that have to be done in the house, okay? So then we're given charge to pick up all the junk in our room that we think is so nicely arranged, right? And so, do we see the duties of the house or what the mother does and washing and cleaning and ironing and folding things up and putting back in drawers? No. What about the father's going out and the job, bringing in all the money, all the different social things that are going on? No. So for us, duties in the house means picking up our room. Like that. Now, if you can understand all the rest of it, then you understand it. And if you don't, it doesn't matter because this is how much is there. So how much you can understand, that's how much is there. So it technically doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.